Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
Hey kids, Jeff Hawkins from Shake Them Ropes here, and for almost 15 years we have been part of Voices of Wrestling. Myself and Chris Novembrino give a review of that week's news, the lazy river of wrestling criticism of that week's WWE and AEW, and then Vader Club, where we watch something from one of our past, or something we may have missed. Smart, snarky, and sometimes serious, but not always. That's us, and if that's your vibe, we'd love to have you listen to Shake Them Ropes every week on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Here we go!
You're listening to the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 82 of the Emerald Flow Show. We're a podcast on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can follow us on X at Emerald Flow Show, and we're also on Blue Sky, and you can listen to us on all of your favorite podcast apps. Leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts, and if you're feeling generous, you can donate to the show at voicesofwrestling.com/donate. I'm Gerard, here with Paul again. And Paul, this week we start off with some upcoming news in both of our lives. You start, since it's more relevant to the topic of the show, actually.
Fair. Despite the fact it's longer way, but yes, you're right. Yeah, so the Emerald Flow Show is going on tour, kind of. So I have booked, as of last week, I've officially booked my flights to go to Japan. So I'm going to be back there for New Year's. So I'm going to like see the All Japan New Year show. I'm going to see the wherever Noah is going to be on January 1st or 2nd. We'll see. I'm going to see if they screw me like again, like two times in a row. Because last year, like last time I went, which was last year. Oh, God, it's confusing. I was so excited. I was like, oh man, I'm going to see like the Budokan on January 1st. And then they put it on January 2nd and ran a different arena. So I hope they run the Budokan again and they're not on like alternate year schedules. And then the Dome Show, I'm going to see Tanahashi retire. I'm really excited about that. And then I'm going to be doing some traveling around the country. Haven't really nailed down where exactly I'm going to go, but I have like 2 weeks basically just to travel around the country. So yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that.
All right, and who are you getting mark picks with?
Probably no one. Well, the thing is, it's happened a couple of times. So, like, the only mark pick I actually got last time was literally because it was included for free. Like, because I bought a, I was at the Great Show in Tokyo Dome City Hall, and Atsuki Aoyagi was on the show, and he was like selling shirts after the show. And he was like, yeah, there's also like a free photo included. I was like, I don't really like taking photos, but also it's more complicated for me to explain this to some to like somebody who's like maybe not that great at English right now, and I'm also too drunk, and I'm like, yeah, okay, sure, let's just take the picture, why not. He even signed the shirt and everything, and but then I lost the shirt because I can't find it anymore, which is unfortunate. Yeah, I don't know, it might have gotten lost like on travels or somewhere, or maybe it's somewhere buried like deep in like my closet somewhere, I don't know, but I haven't been able to like find it in a while now. And otherwise, yeah, again, this will literally be the only time I will be like taking the pictures. It's like if it's included already, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I might as well. I'm not getting a line for like 30 minutes just to take a picture of somebody. That's not happening.
So I am going to Mexico City for a week in May on my honeymoon. We are going to Super Viernes on the Friday night at Mexico, in Mexico City at Arena Mexico. And I'm going to the May 9th Arena Mexico show. And I woke up and I learned that I dodged a huge bullet this morning because the week before is the MLW CMLL crossover show that looks not good, to say the least.
I mean, it could be worse, but definitely not like what you're going to Mexico for. Like, that's for sure. Like, it's like going to like a GCW show in Caracan. It's like, no, I'm not like coming to Japan for this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that show on May 2nd that I main evented by Mystico versus Kushida, which, okay, good. But the rest of the card is like, you got Barboza and Zandokan Jr. versus Donovan Dijak and Akiro Kwan, Magnus Rugido versus Kojima and Okamura. Reina Isis.
I mean, maybe Kojima tries more.
I like Kai, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not a good card. Like it's like I. What I'm curious about though is people are going to work like their Mexico, like their Arena Mexico level of effort, or are they going to work their regular like MLW level of effort?
That's a very good question. Well, Donovan Dijak will probably work his like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that one doesn't matter. Yeah, that one is like whatever. but like, you know, Kushida, I mean, versus Mystico, right? Like, if it's Arena Mexico level, that could be a 4-star match. Whereas if it's like, yeah, MLW, it's going to be a 3-star special. So
yeah, exactly. Now what's funny is all of the tourists who will just buy tickets, being like, "Oh, let's go see Lucha Libre."
Yes, Donovan Dijak. Have fun.
Are going to be in for a treat. I'll tell you that. It's funny because I bought the tickets like last week, and strangely enough, the May 2nd show had like lots of tickets had already sold for that show, and I was like, oh, what's going on that week? And it turns out, so I don't know. Like, we'll see. But yeah, I'm very thankful. Now the question is, am I going to get just a perfunctory Friday night? I guess so. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but that's still going to be like baseline pretty good wrestling and a good atmosphere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Better than what that is.
Yeah, better than MLW. Yeah, that's for sure.
Oh, wait. Sorry. There's more to the card. I'm just looking at what Cubs fan posted, but apparently there's also Neon versus Paul Lund.
Okay. I mean, okay, Neon wasn't wrestling then, but that's a match I would have been more excited about like 10 years ago. So, wait, was Neon wrestling? Maybe. It's hard to keep track with Mexican wrestlers because they all started like 12.
Yes. Yeah, and that doesn't, you know, yeah, Pop One and an old man, no, basically.
No, these days, no, yeah. Actually, no, he started in 2021. So, no, he wasn't one of those that started really young. So,
yeah.
No. Again, Paul on in 2025, yeah, that's not going to, like, make me want to buy a ticket, to be honest.
No, not at all. Exactly. So from there, we have some slight roster news. Anthony Green is going to leave NOAH, or he's leaving NOAH, I should say. He posted a tweet last night in Japanese, you know, thanking the fans and thanking, you know, for his time there and everything like that. And so, I don't know. First of all, what do you think of that? And second of all, where do you think he's going?
I mean, I am sad to see him leave, because I think he was just like, it's not like he's a massive loss, right? Like, it's not like it's this like for example, like recently Noah lost El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr. And that obviously was like a pretty big, massive loss. Like, guy that literally has done everything there is to do in the promotion, always good for like someone that you could put in main events and everything. Whereas Anthony Green was always like a perfectly acceptable mid-card worker. Like, you can put him in a tag team, like you can, like, you know, you can put him in singles matches as well if you need to and all of that. But ultimately, it's not the biggest loss possible for the promotion. Sad to see him go, but also like, it's probably going to be relatively easy to replace him as far as where he goes. I mean, I was sending you a couple of screenshots from me randomly putting on, like, because I was like just kind of bored one evening and there was just an NWA stream on YouTube. So I was like, you know what, I might as well watch it. And the first thing I see on there is like All Japan legend Lord Crew. So I kept watching. And then, yeah, later on, Anthony Green popped up on there and they actually said it was his NWA debut. So, yeah, I mean, maybe that's what he's doing now. Maybe he's just gonna like stay like a US indie guy now, or maybe he's like falling into like the whole like NWA kind of circle, because I don't know if there's really an interest for him from like the big promotions, right? Well, like, it's not like he was blowing people away in Japan.
He had his NXT,
but that was like such a complete like nothing happening.
Like, I think that Green had got real good in Noah. He had gotten over it. It would not shock me if he walks into WWE Evolve.
Maybe. I mean, Thatcher is there too. Yeah. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I didn't know he actually worked dark a couple of times. So it's not like he doesn't have any, like, in on AEW either. But, I if he walks into either of them, I don't expect him to be, like, you know, like a big push commodity or anything like that. Like, I can't really see him, like, get beyond the, like an undercard level, essentially. So, I mean, it is possible. I just don't, like, it. Like, neither promotion really strikes me as the one that is making these kinds of signings right now. Because if you're WWE or if you're AEW, like, what do you really gain from, like, signing, like, a really solid, like, undercard wrestler over, like, instead of just grabbing, like, another young talent that you can put in the undercard instead that you hope is going to, like, develop into something?
Right, exactly.
Impact, actually. You know what? Impact. Now that I think about it, that might be one for him.
That might be one for him, for sure. Maybe that's why a certain someone has reappeared as well. You know, one foreigner's gone, and they'll bring in an old samurai, shall we say.
I mean, honestly, I'd rather have seen Anthony Green and Rattels. I think it would have been a better fit.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Not a question at all. And so next up, Paul, did you see Astronauts versus Violent Giants from March 21st? Ah,
damn it. I forgot.
Okay.
I said I really wanted to watch it, but yeah, work got super busy, so I just completely slipped my mind. Yeah.
So this is the eagerly awaited follow-up from the great Suwama versus Takuya Nomura match. I don't think it was as good as that singles match was, but it still was pretty good, especially the last couple of minutes with Nomura getting a big win over Suwama with a backslide thanks to one of those Abe wind-up punches followed up by the backslide to get through. So, you know, it's worth your time. It's only, I think it's less than 15, if I recall. So, yeah, I can't give it as high a rating as that Nomura versus Suwama, but it's definitely to check out.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely try and watch that. Actually, there's another one that I recently saw that was a match that happened that I'm going to have to try and like track down. And that was in 2AW, actually. They ran with, it was in Kurgan, I think. And they with Ayato Yoshida versus Takuya Nomura. Like, that's probably a really good match.
That might air on Samurai at some point, right?
I think it did. Or at least I think either it's scheduled to. Let me just double check real quick. It aired on Nico Nico. So it has to be out there. So like it has to be, definitely has to be out there. So could probably find it somewhere. It has to be like on somebody's like Plex server.
All right. So we jump over to Noah. They had a few shows. We'll just quickly touch on the shows. They did a back-to-back at Shinkiba First Ring on March 8th and March 9th. Okay, so first thing first, on the first match of this show, we had Null defeating Hajime Ohara in 5:59 with a neck-hanging bomb. This was the debut of Null in pro wrestling Noah. And so let's look at this in its totality of the shows we watched. What do you think of Null?
I think he has good size. Yeah. So, like, I do think there's something there. I think he's still like really, really raw. Like, he's one of those guys that could go either way. Like, I think there is a timeline where he figures it out and he actually becomes a good worker. And there is also a timeline where basically he just stays like this forever, which is fine, but like nothing like special yet. But like, I do think like sometimes you could see like that he actually has some like good instincts and everything. I think that became even more obvious like at the show that he had in Kurikan, which we're going to touch on a bit more later. But yeah, for now, like, I think it's somebody, I don't know, I think it might actually be too early for him to work Japan yet. I think he might, like, either if you want to keep working Japan, you might have to, like, commit fully and, like, go into the dojo, or, like, gain a bit more seasoning on the indies in the US and then come back, like, 2-3 years down the line, essentially, when, like, you're actually a better worker than you are right now. Because I think there were times where I was, like, he definitely felt a bit out of depth at times.
Sure. I would bring him back, though.
I mean, again, like, if he figures it out, a guy in that size, like, yeah, no, you definitely want to bring that guy in.
Yeah. And I think he acclimatized himself, like, once got going. Like, I thought, well, we'll get to that, but I thought, you know, by Corkin, he was definitely, I think, doing a much better job.
Oh, he was miles better in that match, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll just run ahead, because a lot of these shows were just matches were just filler. But then we had Hayata Yohei and Yuru Kikuchi beating Amatsuka, Juta Miyawaki, and Bryce Hansen in 13:28 with the 403 impact from Hayata on Bryce Hansen. First of all, I gotta say though, Bryce Hansen looks like he's a jobber on an episode of NWA.
Yeah, he does. It's very much a throwback look. It's like the hair, the mustache, and everything.
Yeah, he's got, I think he's only in his early 20s, but he's got that Arn Anderson thing going on.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, for sure. I don't remember how old he actually is, but yeah, he definitely, I mean, he's also going to look like this when he's 50, right? So it's fine.
Yeah. I don't think
he's Canadian.
He is. I don't know. He didn't grab my attention at first, although I think I warmed up to him by the end. And I'll say this. He's only been wrestling since 2020.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. I guess you could bring him back. I think he did fine enough by the end. He's worth enough. What do you?
I mean, I guess. I mean, like, with Null, at least I can see, like, if he develops, right, like, can do a lot more stuff with him. But, like, realistically, are you, let's say, going to push Bryce Hansen higher than, for example, LJ Cleary?
No. Unless he's, like, amazing.
Yeah, which, and again, LJ is also still, like, of a similar age. Like, LJ is still also, like, pretty, like, LJ is still only, like, 24, 25.
Yeah.
So I'd rather bring back LJ Cleary over, like, if, because I feel like it's also an either or. Like, I feel like it's either Bryce Hansen or LJ Cleary, and in that case, I'd rather have LJ.
You know, Hansen might have, I know Cleary's been wrestling longer than Hansen, but Hansen might have more solid fundamentals than LJ.
Yeah, but that's all he has.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's all fundamental. Like, which I guess maybe that's something he can build on. But, like, he's, like, because he doesn't even have, like, the upside of, like, being super tall like Null has.
Right.
Like, he's just relatively averagely sized. Like, he's, like, what? He's as tall as me. So,
sure,
yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, actually, with that height and Noah, you might actually become a heavyweight. But, like, need to put on a bit more weight with that.
Yes. So from there, we had Ada defeating Deki Odashima in 10:52 with a crab hold. Again, Odashima is...
Yeah, he's so good.
He's so good, and he's got the crowd behind him. And so it's like, you know, Ada maybe not working the hardest. Ada's reverting to Ada in Noah.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
I mean, Odashima was just the guy that sort of made this match, surprisingly.
He carried the match, which is absurd.
Yeah. And then
shouldn't be.
yeah. And then we had Takashi Sugiri and Kenta defeating Tetsuya Endo and Owada-san in 12:27 with the Olympic Slam from Sugiri on Owada-san. Again, a solid match, but the Team 2000X stuff, you know, casts a shadow over everything, and you're waiting for you know what to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Though I did hear on commentary that they were hinting that Owada-san might be going away on
Interesting that they're sending him on an excursion now after turning him heel.
Yeah. Well, who knows if that's actually true. They're like, he's going to be ready for excursions.
I mean, hey, like, sent him here. Like, worked out well for Ozawa.
Yeah, yeah. And then the main event was Ozawa, Jack Morris, Dagen, Tadasuke defeating Masa Kitamiya, Kaito Kiyomiya, Galeno, and Alejandro in 2017. The Big Ben Edge from Ozawa on Kitamiya. Interesting booking choice given what would happen. But at least they're sort of booking Ozawa dominantly. This was good. Again, your usual Team 2000X, you know, things apply here. Mm-hmm. And then there was a beatdown angle after the match. But I thought it did a fine enough job trying to heat up their title match.
Yeah. No, it was fine. But I don't know. Like, I have my issues with this feud, which I'll get to when we get to the title match.
Yeah. So what do you think of Tadasuke's new look?
I don't know. Like he looks like a greaser.
I was just going to say that. Like, he looks like an extra in
grease. Yeah.
You know, with that slick back hair like that.
Instead yeah,
of,
yeah.
Like the wet, stringy hair.
But then again, I think that's kind of what he likes as well, right? Like, remember when he was in Congo and he just looked like a, like, hair metal guy?
Yeah.
So I think he's just, like, he's going backwards, basically. He's going backwards in time. Like, he was in the 80s look in Congo. Like, now he's going to the 50s. Like, next up, he's, like, I don't know, dressing up like a dapper 1920s gentleman or something.
Yeah. You know, the show on the 9th, I thought, was very similar to the show on the 8th.
Yeah, it was the, like, it was for, like, the, not gonna lie, they kind of, like, blur together for me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I will just say, because it's the same thing. In the main event, they had, like, Masa Kitamiya, Uko Sasaki, and Kazuyuki Fujita defeating Ozawa, Daga, and Tetsuya Endo, with just Kitamiya getting a Saito suplex on Daga. That wasn't as good as the main event of the night before. Perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. Although I will just say, though, I thought the best stuff on the show was Null defeating Daiki Odashima.
What? Yeah, but again, Daiki Odashima carry drop there.
Another Daiki Odashima carry job. And Amasuka versus Yuto Kuk. Amasuka obviously won in 10-8, and that was a solid match. But otherwise, yeah, they really did just blur together.
I mean, didn't help that they were in the same building. Like,
yes, I know. So we move on to the Korakuen show on March 22nd at Korakuen Hall. Another sold out show at 1,550 fans, super no vacancy, full house.
That place was packed. It like, literally, when they, like, just, like, because I watched the show from, like, literally, like, when they, like, moved over from the, like, waiting screen and everything. And, like, it was basically when people were still moving into their seats and you could already see that the place was just completely packed. And there were even, like, people just, like, up on the balconies, like, which you don't see that often anymore in Korakuen.
You don't. So I noticed a lot of, like, middle-aged people wearing Ozawa shirts.
I mean, okay, let's just get into that now, because if we want to talk about that, it was so funny when Junta Miyawaki wanted to do his whole, like, let's go talk to the kids, like, shtick, and let them pose with, like, the trophy, and he couldn't find any in a sold-out building. Literally had to get up, I think, the second to last row up in the bleachers is where he finally found a child. It's, like, the only child in the entirety of Korakuen. Yeah, that it was a super big crowd, but also a very old crowd for some reason, which I don't get.
Well, I think they have pulled back their fans that had stopped going.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that might be it, which is funny, because that's what they tried to do with the whole, like, push Muto and everything, right? They wanted to get, like, older, like, people that have, like, nostalgia or whatever of the 90s. And then the moment those go away and they push like a younger guy, those guys all come back.
Yeah.
Which, again, tells you like pushing nostalgia doesn't work. Pushing new people works. Like this is like the perfect example of that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is sort of, I mean, look, yes, Noah did manage to pop some big gates with Muto, but on they could never full cork him like this.
No, they were like, struggling like to that. Get to 1,000.
Yeah.
They were struggling to get to 800 sometimes. Like, and now they're just like selling out in like 2 days in advance. Like they can't even buy tickets day off.
Another feather in our cap.
Yeah.
all of our commenting on Muto. Oh, well, many people, but you know, Muto had his defenders, no question. But I think,
yeah.
Looking back now with what Noah has done, there's no question that that was ultimately a failed strategy that might have ruined someone's career as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There is somebody who feels this is like the most irrelevant this person has felt since, I don't know, since he came back from Excursion phase. Actually, even prior to Excursion, like since he debuted, really.
Yeah. So, show starts off with a dark match of Kazuyuki Fujita and Deki Odoshima defeating Nolan and Bryce Hansen in 11:57 with the crab hold from Fujita on Hansen. And you know what? I enjoyed this match.
Yes, actually, I located as well. This was actually I would put them together as a team. I think they work really well with each other.
Yeah, for sure. And it was just, look, it's a very solid professional wrestling match. The juniors did their thing, and then obviously you wanted to see Null and Fujita run into each other, but it
yes
worked.
That worked really well though, like when Null actually like got Fujita down, and I was like, wow, Fujita actually like willing to bump for him, only for Fujita to like immediately get up and just completely bull rush Null while he was still like celebrating. I was like, yes, let's go.
Yeah. So we had on the first match of the show, Kaito Kiyomiya in the opening match, Galeno, who's actually still Galeno Del Mal when he does shows in the States, I noticed.
Yeah, well, he's still a heel there, I guess.
Yeah. Harutoki and Kai Fujimura defeated Jack Morris, Daga, Tadasuke, and Owada-san in 11:51 with the Shining Lancer from Kiyomiya on Daga. And this was actually a pretty good opener.
Yeah. No, the match was really, really good. Yeah. Like, I mean, it was very classical match structure, right? Like, it's literally the Shining baby faces against, like, it's the most obvious on the nose it could ever be, like, with the way they've done these color schemes. But yeah, it works really well, where it's like, yeah, the dastardly, like, dark colored heels versus, like, shiny baby face and everything, and just the baby face is also being, like, on fire, and you have a hot crowd in Korakuen, so I thought that all of that worked really, really well. But again, yep, it's the most irrelevant Kaito has felt, like, since he made his debut, really. Like, they're finally doing something with the tag titles, but which I thought were vacant, but I guess they're not.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Whatever. Like, it's
well, good with the bad, I suppose.
Yeah,
this is how Nosawa books things. He's willing to do this to titles, which not a lot of Japanese bookers are just willing to vacate a title for storyline.
Yeah, I mean, again, yeah, just put the belt on Kaito and just maybe like you can rebuild him at some point.
Yeah. And then we had Manabu Soya, Yuto Kikuchi, and Saxon Huxley making his return, defeating Naomichi Marufuji, Kenno, and Hajime Ohara in 9:44 with the neck-hanging bomb from Huxley on Ohara. This was Huxley coming out in Soya's tights. And he is now a member of Passionate Rattles. And the match.
Man, if you go back to like 2019 Noah, right? And you're gonna tell somebody, it's like, hey, who do you think is in Rattles 6 years from now? First of all, they're gonna be like, Rattles is still a thing in 6 years. And the last people they'd pick would be Manabu Soya and Saxon Huxley.
It is what it is. So
they found someone somehow that is an even more preposterous pick than Manabu Soya.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because Soya didn't make any sense. Huxley makes even less sense.
Even less sense. And I just like Huxley is just so plain and nondescript, generic
form of
monster heel. I would much rather just Green State.
Yeah. Again, he fits way better into like the like vibes and everything. Like,
he could
Huxley
go
just doesn't
passionate Rattels.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, he got a pop, but whatever. It's just the return pop. I wouldn't read too much into it either at this type thing. It is what it is. And then we go to JHC National Title Tournament round one. Tetsuya Endo defeated Takashi Sugiura in 5:59 with the horizontal cradle. Well, but he also did a couple low blows to get there.
Yeah.
And, you know, they sort of whipped out the bombs sort of, you know, fast. They were going fast, trying to pick up the pacer because we only had 6 minutes. But you know what? It doesn't matter because that just totally deflates everything, I think.
Yeah.
You know why they did it, but I don't have to wait.
No. I thought this, like, on paper, this could have been a great match. But, yeah, it just, again, it was 6 minutes. Like, there's not much you can do there. And most of it was just basically Endo cheating, essentially.
Yeah, it is.
So you just never could really build anything.
It is.
This just ends up with like Endo versus Sawyer. Then we just completely wasted everybody's time with Ozawa versus Sawyer.
Whatever. We'll get to that more in a second. The next up, Kenta defeated Oka Sasaki at 11:22 with the go to sleep. Kenta remains obviously one of the most over guys in the company, not surprisingly. Mm-hmm. I thought that this was a nice little solid match, you know, like 3.25, 3.5 stars, but just the way that Kenta carries himself is night and day.
Oh yeah. Like he's such a big, like he instantly comes in as just a big star. Yeah.
It's all in the eyes, as they say.
Right? Oh yes. Like, because they were out the entirety he was in New Japan.
Oh yeah.
And now he's just like in there and he just like, yeah, again, like he doesn't smile, but like his eyes smile. Like that's the weird thing, right?
Yeah. He doesn't do any bullshit.
No.
He doesn't talk to Yoshihashi's staff.
No, he doesn't. He just goes in, he just knees you in the face. It's great. I really liked the match as well. Like, I thought the start of the match was really, really good. I think they had like a really good, great start. Yeah. It lagged a bit in the middle because I feel like Olka still doesn't quite know what to do in a control sequence.
Sure.
Right. But then I thought the finish was really good. Like, it was a relatively short finishing sequence, but I actually liked that, where it was just bam bam and then just definitive Kenta just like go to sleep, just knees him in the face and just pins him. I agree. Like, I liked the match as well. Like, again, Kenta proves that, like, in Noah he's just a completely different person. But I mean, big test coming up though, like real big test coming up though, how high he can turn it up.
Well, I think he can, but we'll get to that in a minute. Next up, GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title. Amasaka and Junta Miyawaki defeated Hayata and Yohei in 13:02 with the horizontal cradle from Miyawaki on Yohei to win the titles and to be the 62nd GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Team champions. Paul, this was undoubtedly the match of the show.
Oh yeah, not even close. Yes, very easily.
One of the best Noah matches of the year.
Yes, absolutely.
And look, I still argue we are living in a downtime of tag team wrestling since AEW has stopped trying to.
Yeah,
their tag team division has sort of gone down over the last couple of years. So, like, when you have a 4.25 or a 4.25 tag match, it's like not a lot of people are putting those out right now.
I mean, I'd argue that somehow we are covering like the only two promotions, maybe Dragon Gate, because I don't follow them enough. Yeah, but like those are like the only promotions on the world that put out like consistently great like tag team wrestling.
It is, they are, and I wouldn't go match of the year on this, but it's still one of, like, on my top 10 list. But it is still one of the best tag team matches I have seen this year so far. No question.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Like, the crowd was hot. I mean, Junta's probably been ready for a while, but my God, he felt like...
Oh God, yes. Him crying after the match. Like, it was very obvious that this was, like, really important to him as well.
Yeah.
Like, he was, like, okay, he wasn't even... Well, he was crying. But he was also trying really hard not to. Like, he was really hard, like, trying to maintain his composure and just not being able to and just, like, basically broke down, which, you know, we still don't know, like, and will likely never know what happened unless somebody mentions it. Yeah, 15 years down the line, somebody's probably going to mention it, like, on the side, I don't know, in a blog post, or I don't know. But, like, the fake excursion to Mexico because I'll never believe that that second excursion to Mexico is real unless somebody literally like shows me like a timestamp picture of him in Mexico at that time, because there's no evidence he was ever there. Like, we still don't know why he went there. It's just obvious that afterwards they punished him for something. I think that's very clear at this point, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah, for sure.
Now, finally, like 3 years later, seems whatever that punishment was is done now. And I don't know if too much damage has been done, because when he first came back from excursion, I was like, yeah, this guy's going to be the ace of the junior division like very soon. And then the exact opposite happened.
Yeah.
Maybe they can rebuild him to that point. It's not like they have that many other young guys, to be quite frank, especially in the junior division.
I think, you know, I mean, there's a too soon, but I mean, him beating Ada on January 1st is something you might want to pencil in. I mean, he has his time now, and he should be the ace of the junior division as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, if you can get him there, like, you need to try, because, like, you don't really have anybody else. Like, I like Alejandro, like, and like a lot of the other, like, Kei Fujimura, whatever. But I don't think they're at that level that, like, I think Junta potentially can be. And it's a shame that we had to waste, like, 3 years of his career on for whatever happened. So, yeah, I hope, again... Best match on the show. Went four and a quarter on this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great match all around. And hopefully this is finally the start of the real, like, Junta to the top push.
Absolutely. And the next up was for the GHC. I think they should have flipped the order of these matches. GHC Junior Heavyweight Championship. Ada defeated Alejandro at 11:20 with the Imperial Uno. Let me say this. This was a good match. Like 3.5 stars, 3.25 stars. But it's just the Alejandro show.
Yes. Alejandro bumping all around.
Flying Ada. And everything. Ada's like enthusiasm and effort seem to have peaked in January when he won the title.
So weird. He's so like myopic, I think is the correct word
he's
there.
Still
like,
over,
yeah.
You know.
And he was like kind of like still kind of motivated in the team with Odoshima. It's just.
Yep.
Now he's just not at all anymore. It's weird. Seems incredibly moody. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, that's always the feeling I got from him in Dragon Gate as well, where like he literally would go like between amazing and nothing at all.
I mean, this could have been really good.
Yeah. No, if Ada was motivated, this would have been the best match on the show. But it was literally like a match of two guys. Like it literally was like a one-star performance and a four-star performance.
Yeah. Yeah, it is what it is. And then in the main event for the GHC heavyweight title, Ozawa defeated Masa Kitamiya in 21:33 with the real rebel to make his third defense of the title. Okay. It was good enough. It was fine. I like 3.5 stars. There's a couple of things here. We have Kit. This is the House of Torture NWO thing where everybody's just waiting. It's not surprising when to stop that. Secondly, when despite Ozawa being over and all these 50-year-old men with their real rebel shirts in the crowd, when Kitamiya was on in control, this, and we got, I got to say, these Noah Corican crowds have been hot unlike a year ago even. They are much hotter crowds. They were not very hot for Kitamiya when he had his control periods in this.
No. Like, you could hear a pin drop. I was like, where did the crowd go?
Yeah, right? They want to see Ozawa do Ozawa things, clearly.
Yeah.
You know? But that sort of hurt it a bit, you know, and then, you know, the last few minutes were great. I mean, the interference did not lead directly into the finish directly type thing, which I prefer, not that I like interference at all, but, so, you know, and then Ozawa, you know, did the set of suplexes to fuck with him and then hit that power bomb, that like, pump handle power bomb type thing he does. And then he did the real rebel, got the win, you know, good enough. And then, so that's the match. I don't know, Paul, did you have any other thoughts of the match? Or
again, my problem with the whole feud, and I feel like I am aligned there with the crowd, which is why I feel the crowd didn't make any noise when Kitamiya was in control. Kitamiya just wasn't a believable challenger in the slightest. Like, nobody there was, like, believing even for a second that Masa Kitamiya had, like, even a snowball's chance in hell of, like, beating Ozawa.
Yeah.
And I think that's the reason why nobody made any noise when, like, Kitamiya was in control, because nobody gave a shit about Kitamiya. They were there to watch Ozawa. So, yeah. I don't know. Like, I kind of get why they put Kitamiya in the spot, because, like, you probably want to, like, buff up some title defenses in there, right? And maybe you were wanted to, like, save some bigger matches for, like, further down the line, because even while I think maybe this Ozawa reign might be coming to an end at some point soon, like, he's going to win that belt again, very obviously. Like, I mean, there's no way they're not going to put the belt back on this guy, like, probably before the year's over again. Like, he's probably going to be a two-time champion, because just look at the attendance that this guy is drawing. So, yeah, I get maybe that's why they did Kitamiya here, but it definitely hurt this match, where, like, I was basically the same as the crowd, where I just didn't give a shit whenever Kitamiya was in control, and I was paying attention when Ozawa was in control.
Yeah. And then afterwards, Kenta came out to make the challenge to a huge pop. Felt electric. The crowd had that, like, ooh, this exciting murmur going on.
Yes.
You know, he came out and everything. And that's what we're getting on May 3rd at Sumo Hall.
Yeah.
And for that, these are, and I'm just going to quickly jump to the only two things we have to preview for Noah. But before that, on April 14th, at Korakuen Hall, in a no DQ match, is Ozawa and Tetsuya Endo versus Kenta and Kenno, which I think is going to sell out again for that.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
So, Paul, what do you think of this, and should Kenta win?
Yes. So as much as I think this Ozawa reign is just a slam dunk, right? I think there is no wrong choice here, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But I do think Kenta should win for one simple reason. You have to do this Kenta reign now. You have to do this Kenta reign sooner rather than later. Because while he is kind of pulling out all of the stops right now, his body is still broken as shit. Like, he could not make it to the end of the year. Yeah, before he retires. Yeah, exactly. Like, you have to strike that iron while it's hot. If you want to put the belt on him, you have to do that now, because you might not be able to do it later. So if you want to maximize what you can get out of Kenta, you need to put the belt on him now. And I don't think it hurts Ozawa either.
I think, no, it doesn't hurt Ozawa. And you could always have Ozawa come back a couple months, like, you know, even if...
Yeah, exactly. That's actually what I think might happen again, where I'm saying, like, he might be a two-time champion before the year is over. Like, he can, like, I don't know, like, beat him just before the N1, or he can win the N1 and beat him after the N1. Like, you can do that, and then you can run back, like, Kaito versus, like, Ozawa at, like, the New Year show next year. So, yeah, I think, like, strike the iron with Kenta while you can. Not just while it's hot, but while you literally are still able to.
Also, I think you got to do it on the 25th anniversary year.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Right? And I don't think it's going to drive... This is not a nostalgia ring that's going to drive people away.
No.
And also, they're probably
looking at this different.
They're looking at a certain Hiroki Goto right now, and being right.
Yeah, exactly. So, what do you think this draws? So, I'm looking at their most recent, like, Sumo Hall shows. Like, it's obviously beating their, like, 1,500 that their, like, junior show did in 2022.
Do you think it's 5,000, or is that crazy?
So they haven't done that since 2019. So 2019,
Kaito, right?
That was Kaito versus Kenno. And on the undercard, you had, like, Segura versus Elgin for the national title. Great Muta versus Narumichi Marufuji. Axis versus Kitamiya and Inamura. So, but again, that's pre-pandemic numbers. So, I don't want to say that, like, that feels like, given what we've had with, like, Noah drawing recently, that almost feels, like, too optimistic, but, like, with them just, like, selling out everywhere, really. Like, and this is Ozawa, well, obviously being a big thing, and the Kenta return, I think they can do it.
Paul, don't forget, there's going to be probably a big undercard, and for all we know, there's going to be someone from WWE.
Oh, that's true. They're probably going to send, like, Nakamura again.
It's possible. If Nakamura is under contract with WWE at that point, there's been some rumors that he's not getting renewed.
Yeah, I mean, if he's not getting renewed, if you know it, do you make a play for him? Like, he's probably going to want to go back to New Japan.
No, you don't make a play for him, because his usefulness will fade.
Yeah, he's good as a special attraction. We don't want him as a regular. Yeah, that's right.
I think for New Japan, it's a little different because this is the Tanahashi countdown.
Yeah. You want to run that one last time.
So
yeah.
I think you can make more money. You can make more money with Nakamura in the New Japan context than you can.
Yeah.
And also, it just sets a bad precedent of going back to the old guy to save.
Yes, that too.
Well, I mean, I guess they're kind of doing that with Kenta, but Kenta's a bit
again. That's different. Kenta is a true born, like not
different than Muto.
But like, yes, he's kind of the first Noah true born, despite the fact that he's technically an All Japan trainee.
I mean, he only debuted in All Japan in like May, I think, of 2000.
Yeah, he has
like one month before the All Japan.
Yeah, he has 12 matches in All Japan before the split happened.
Yeah, so. You know, he was there from day one in Noah and everything like that. So
just real quick, do you think they beat in the 6,200 that they drew in 2018 when it was main evented by Hideo Itami?
That was the 20th anniversary show for Noah.
That was the 20th anniversary show, yeah.
I don't know. Probably not. I feel like the business as a whole for everyone has gone down since then.
Yeah, exactly. I would like, again, it depends what they put on the undercard, but yeah, I think if it's a success, if they get to 5,000.
Yeah, for sure. From there, so we now are going to move on to the world's preeminent comedy promotion.
I mean, they do outdraw DDT. Maybe. We don't know. DDT doesn't report numbers anymore.
I mean, you got DDT guys working New Japan now.
You have a DDT guy jump to Noah.
Yeah, I see people speculating money things, but I don't know. I mean, I could see DDT using more money than Noah.
Yeah, I mean, I could also see it where Cyberfight is like, okay, if we can only keep one of these, we're keeping Noah. So
yeah, because it's like the...
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no clue. I just see people talking about it now because Endo and then...
Senshiro Takagi is going to lead a buyout and just take it back in the... I actually wouldn't be shocked if that happens.
And Takagi got removed from president of Cyberfight. Well, that was last year, but still, you know, it's just, I don't know. They have big plans for that and everything like that. But we start the show. They drew 1,355, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
So we start the show off for the Gaara TV title. Yuko Miyamoto defeated Mr. Seto Naruki doing 1029 with the Moonsault Press. I kind of thought Miyamoto was going to retain, but I would not have been surprised if Doi won. But no, Miyamoto retained, and this was a good here. And I think this might have been Doi's best match in All Japan in a while.
Yeah, low-key, it actually kind of was. again, very solid opener. Just real quick, because this happened before the match as well, is when they did the 10-belt salute.
Oh, right.
For Nishimura. And it was very noticeable that like Fuji was like, very broken up about this one specifically. Mm-hmm. And it's also the other thing that kind of struck me is like, how many times have they already had to do this just this year?
Yeah.
Like they've done it like 3-4 times already, right? Because we had Gran Hamada, and we had Nishimura, and then we also had someone I'm missing.
Mighty Inoue.
Mighty Inoue, yeah. So we've already done this 3 times this year already. But yeah, no. But the match itself was pretty good. Again, with the Yuka Miyamoto, I'm like, yeah, it's the Gaara TV title. I'm just, I don't know. After last year, we kind of got spoiled with the Sego Tachibana reigns and like Fuminori Abe and everything. It is a step down, but it's still above what the Gaara TV title normally is. So I guess I'll take it.
Okay. So then we move on to Shuji Kano and Seki Yoshioka defeating Atsuki Aoyagi and Taishi Nagao in 9:27 with the crash driver from Yoshioka on Nagao. This was another pretty good match, I thought. Mm-hmm. Of course, Nagao sort of played his role as the, you know, the whipping boy type thing and everything like that. But, you know, good thing. Nice to see Kondo here.
Yep. I thought him and Nagao actually worked really well together. Where, like, he just kind of tossed... Like, I mean, obviously, like, because it allows Kondo to just kind of, like, toss a guy around and everything, which he's really good at.
And then the Hokuto Army Spring Trials 2025, Masada, Takeda, and Yoshida defeated Hokuto Mori, Kumareshi, and Jack Kennedy with the Pineapple Bomber from Yoshida on Omori. And of course, Takeda was Masashi Takeda, and Yoshida was Takashi Yoshida, aka Cyber.
Yeah, why not?
But after the match, Hokuto brought Yoshida into Hokuto Gun, and well, let me just say this. Yoshida was jumping for joy.
He was very happy. He hasn't been as happy since his tag team with Toy.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah. I don't know if you actually watched that, if you watched Dragon Gate at the time.
No.
Well, basically, it was like after he just had like a really lengthy heel run. So it was like his first like run as a face in like a super long time. And he essentially was like Doi's like annoying like tag partner, where he would just be like super happy all the time and super baby face. And Doi would just be like, oh, fuck this. And I feel like this is kind of what he's doing here now as well.
Yeah. I mean, do you have any strong thoughts on this?
It was a comedy match. I mean, it's a lot more of those coming up.
No, I mean
up,
about
so.
Yoshida in...
Oh, Yoshida. I mean, he's kind of perfectly, like, he's the right kind of guy for this kind of faction. Right? Because he can't put Masada in there because, like, can't have him pull double duty. Takeda, I don't think, fits the vibes of Octagon at all.
No.
So out of these three, like Yoshida is the one that absolutely made the most sense if you wanted to put any of them in there.
Yeah. And they'll be challenging for the All Asia tag title.
Of course they are.
So then next up, we had Hideki Suzuki, Shotaro Shino, Dan Tamer, and Ryo Inoue defeating Raijin Hayato, Yuma Anzai, Rei Kihana, and Ren Ayabe in 12:04 with the crab hold from Suzuki on Anzai. This is just kind of there, I thought. Mm-hmm.
It did definitely get a big reaction though when Suzuki tapped out Anzai.
For sure.
Which I was surprised about, but then that made more sense when they did the finish for the All Asia Tag Title match. I was like, ah, okay.
Well, we'll get to that. And in hindsight, it made sense actually in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I mean, I did like Hideki kind of as like the bully in this match.
Yeah.
Like, where he was just kind of tossing around the young guys, where I'm like, I don't know. It brought back the thoughts for me where I'm like, you know who would... I know I keep doing this. I know. But you know who would be a good, like, guy to, like, play the jumbo role? Hideki Suzuki. He even fits with the theme music because they kind of have similar theme music.
Yes. For sure. Okay, and then next up, and then, of course, Dan and Hideki are going to challenge next for the All Asia Tag Titles, which we're going to get to. Mm-hmm. Next up, PWF World Junior Heavyweight Championship. Musashi defeated Seigo Tachibana in 16:02 with a Nitin Ichiru for his second defense of the title. Paul, this definitely delivered.
Yes. And
it might have been the best junior match in a bit, to be honest.
Oh, yes. Like, they went kind of nuts. Like, Tachibana doing, like, the apron pile driver, the package pile driver on the apron. That was nuts.
Yeah. Great finishing sequence. Just a good junior match. Helped get Musashi over, and Tachibana never misses in these spots.
Yeah. No, for sure. Like it almost feels weird. Like, I think if you actually push him hard, it kind of destroys his aura. But, like, he's so good that you actually kind of want to push him harder. It's weird.
Well, he held the title.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Well, it's a title that literally was once used by Jun Akiyama to teach the crowd to no longer accept him as a main eventer.
That's right. But good defense. And then we have a Seki Yoshinoka challenge. And if any match has an opportunity to surpass this one, it's that one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very...
Yeah, for sure. Like tag team partners against each other. I would probably also... I don't know. Maybe there's, like, I'm going to see, like, actually on that one, I'm fine if either of them wins, right? Yeah, like, I think that's really a wrong pick.
I think Musashi's retained.
Because this was only his second defense. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And this feels like basically him, like, he got, like, the big role recently. He signed and everything. I think they might give him, like, a decent long run here.
I suspect Atsuki's going to take this title off of him.
Yeah. No, that's the feeling I get as well. Like, I would have preferred if it was Rising Hayato. But if he's the one ending this Musashi reign, like, I'm also fine with that.
And then in the main event for the World Tag Team Championship, Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi defeated Jun Saito and Rei Saito in 24:49 with the shutdown German suplex hold from Miyahara on Jun. The champions fall in their ninth defense, and the Business Tag are the 100th World Tag Team Champion. Paul, this, again... one of the best tag team matches of the year. Absolutely delivered. I think this is their second best match together. I still don't think anything's going to surpass, but I don't think this was quite when the Saitos won the tag titles for the first time.
Oh, yeah, no, like that Sendai match is special, yeah.
Yeah, that Sendai match is special. But this, still very much awesome. I mean, that closing stretch, I mean, Miyahara was incredible here.
Oh, yeah, no, like, I mean, he very much, like, showed, like, when he won, I was like, okay, I get we're pushing young guys here or whatever. Fuck it, put the triple crown back on this guy. Put the triple crown back on this guy. Like, he's a star. He needs to be on top.
Yeah.
I don't care. Fuck them kids.
Yes, absolutely. But like, just the way that he, you know, made, he was his selling, and of course, you know, his facial expressions, everybody knows that, but it just all came together and worked. And like, they, you know, I mean, they went under 25 minutes, which is probably, you know, unless you were going to have an atmosphere like Sendai, was probably the right choice. Mm-hmm. I have Paul, like, should I do, am I, is it unreasonable to see, sort of have my expectations to be like their triple crown match that's going to be coming up in a couple of days? I think, you know, probably this will come out a day before that show happens. Is it crazy to say that that match should be at the level of at least their champion carnival final?
No, if they kind of go the way like this, like closing sequence went, I think it can definitely be on that level. I think June is going to be super motivated for it as well. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I think this can definitely deliver at a really high level. And again, one of the things that I think, for example, Yuma Anzai could still learn from my Kento Miyahara, right, is I will never not chat talk to Gimlet, because like, Kento's finisher is like so simple. It's literally, it's just a suplex where he hooks your, it's just a German suplex, the most basic ass wrestling move there is. And all he does is like, put you in a straitjacket, and that's the only difference. And they've managed to just build so many like sequences around it, and how you're like so engaged with like people breaking out of it and everything. Like, you don't need to have a super complicated fancy finisher. Like, literally two of the best workers in Japan over the past like 10-15 years, like their finishes are like a German suplex, and the other guy's finisher is a fucking short arm lariat where he does a little twirly with you beforehand. And they've both managed to just make that work so well. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's never going to change it, but like, I feel like, you know, maybe keep it simple is the answer here.
Yeah. Look, if I'm a little surprised that he just didn't adopt the backdrop.
Yeah. He should have, like, it was right there. It was super
Suwama's
over.
Suwama's gone.
One
show a month, you know?
And you're the throwback guy and everything, like, yeah. But I think this is, like, the hypocrisy of youth, basically, where he's like, no. I want to do my own thing.
I want to flash.
And that's what it's overcomplicated.
I want to be like Kenny Omega, you know?
Yeah, even though I'm probably going to break my neck at some point doing this.
Especially given the size of the wrestlers in this company.
That's the thing. If he was doing this in Noah, it's fine. Or you can hit this on like Kenno or even like Kaito or whatever. It's fine. You're hitting this on like Hideki Suzuki and like Jun Saito. Like, that's not going to work out well for you.
Yeah, exactly. So we move to March 15th. They did an Okinawa show in front of 1,650 fans, which I gotta say is a pretty good big success. And I believe that someone brought up in the VOW Discord that this was their biggest. I don't know if they've run any shows in Okinawa since before.
I can't remember them running Okinawa before, to be honest. I mean, they probably have, but I just can't remember.
Not since the pandemic.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, they definitely have before. I just couldn't remember any shows there.
In 2018, they had 1,800 fans. So I would say that this.
Yeah, definitely. It looked pretty full as well. There were some, like, especially because all of the like expensive seats sold out too.
Yeah. So we started the show. Asuke Aoyagi defeated Taishi Nagao in 8:25 with the Moonsault Press. Very solid match. Good opening. But it followed the sort of formula you were expecting.
I actually thought this was a tag match, not going to lie. Because they kind of did it weird with the way they did the entrances. And I was like, oh, wait, no, it's a singles match. Okay.
And then Shotaro Shino Musashi and Turayumi Saver and Tiran Shisha. Lots of shishas on this show. Okinawa. defeated Kuroshio Tokyo Japan. ATM making an appearance. Dingo, who is an
Australian wrestler.
That works for, was it Ryukyu
Pro, yeah.
pro. Yeah, I'd never heard of this guy. And Shuri Joe in 10:59 with a German suplex from Ishino on Dingo. This wasn't anything at all.
No. I mean, I do appreciate ATM popping up here. I guess he was just like on vacation in Okinawa or something. I don't know why he was here otherwise. No, this was nothing.
And then for the AJPW six-man titles, Yuma Aoyagi, Fuminori Abe, and Hikaru Sato defeated Hokuto Mori, Aizawa number one, and Mitsuhisa Tsunabe in 15:05 with the end game from Aoyagi and on Aizawa for the third defense. Well, it's better than the previous match, but yeah. Still, even those matches against Hokuto Gun were better than this. Defensive. Again, what are we doing? And 15 minutes.
I mean, at least the closing sequence was good, but like then just everything before then was just nothing.
Yeah. Like I said, the world's most preeminent comedy.
Yes, really are.
Special singles match. Kento Miyahara defeated Shisha Mask in 12:27 with the shutdown German suplex hold. Now, I'm going to be shoot trash.
Wherever could this have been?
It was real in a way.
It was the most obvious ever. It's like, okay. I don't know why we did this, but sure, why not? It was a good match at least.
Yeah, I mean, but it was good, but it wasn't as good as these guys could have had because.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was better than anything previously on the show, no question.
I mean, you know, aside from like a handful of matches, you know what the vibes of this show were? I don't know if you've ever, like, it's like, you know, those like old, like, no, I think actually Japanese promotions even used to do this as well, where they would like fly out to like Hawaii or like, yeah, I think it was also like both Japanese guys and American guys that would do like tours in Japan or America respectively, would take like a stopover in Hawaii and just work like real low effort because they just want to go to the beach. Like this is basically what this felt like. Like, I don't know what the temperatures are right now in Okinawa, but like given where it is, I wouldn't be shocked if you can like very easily like go to the beach there right now. And that's probably what people, it's 23 degrees there. Yet those people were like going to the beach before and after the show. And that's how they worked as well.
So, you know, that was what it was. But from there we go to Ryuki Honda and Renai Abe defeating Jun Seto and Rei Seto in 49 with the Iron Maiden from Ayabe on Rei. Perhaps this is some heating up for the Champion Carnival as well. A bit of an upset type thing. I mean, it was solid, but I would say that it was the best one. It was Honda versus the Seto.
Yeah. I would say it was definitely... I wasn't super surprised because I think it makes sense because the Seto's just lost the titles. Yeah. And I also have the feeling that probably we're going to see like Honda and Ren challenge for the titles. So I wasn't super surprised because again, the Saitos, like now is that if you want to beat them in a tag match, now is the time to do it because they just lost them. Sure. Just lost
and
the belts.
The Carnival coming up.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Rei is going to beat Renai Abe. And
the other thing as well is like if again, they're going to do like the whole like brother versus brother title match, you're not going to have them do many tag matches in the run up to that as well. So like you might as well beat them right now while you can. And then, when you put them back together after, like, whoever has the belt loses the belt, you know, then you can heat them up again very easily.
Yeah. And then in the main event for the All Asia Tag Team title, Rising Kaito and Yuma Anzai defeated Hideki Suzuki and Dan Tamura in 23:33 with the Gimlet from a Gimlet on Anzai on Hideki Suzuki to make their fourth defense of the titles. Now, I have a few things to say about this match. First of all, I did not watch this live or anything. I'm not even sure if it aired live because in Okinawa. But anyway, that's not the point because I saw people saying it wasn't very good. Yes, it was not as dynamic as like Hayato and Anzai versus Astronauts or Kento and Inoue. But I quite enjoyed this match for what it was. I don't think it was quite good as any of those, but I enjoyed the story of Hideki and Dan taking apart Anzai's leg that he had tapped out to Hideki in the previous match. And Anzai's selling is fantastic like that. Now, maybe it's a bit of a stretch to have then Anzai power back to hit a gimlet of all things to get the win, whatever. But I actually did quite enjoy this as a more old school structured tag match.
Yeah, I was about to say, I thought this match was really good. I didn't know that was a controversial opinion. I
horrible, but it wasn't like that.
Yeah, no, like I was flirting with four here. You know what? Now that I know that was controversial, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going four on this. Screw it. So no, I thought, yeah, again, like I agree. Like I really love the match structure and everything. Like I think Hideki and Dan are really good when they're doing exactly this, right? When they're just like dissecting somebody, which again, they were doing here with Anzai. Like I also like that it was Anzai was the one that was doing a lot of the selling as well. Because it would have been the easy structure to just have the junior be the guy that takes all the heat, but instead it was Anzai that actually took a lot of the heat here. And yeah, again, like him working his way back and everything, like the crowd was into that as well. And no, I thought it was just really like well-worked match and everything. And I just very much enjoyed it. Like if I were to like rank it amongst like the matches that we watched for this batch, like the only ones I would put ahead, like, yeah, I would probably rank it fourth. Like I would rank it like behind like the Noah Jr. tag title match.
Yeah.
Musashi versus Tachibana, and then Kento and Yuma versus the Saitos. But again, like those were all great matches. So like this was right behind that. So yeah, no, I agree with you. This match was great. Everybody that thinks otherwise is wrong. We are correct, as always.
And then from there, we are going to the New Age Chronicles Z or Z6. It's Shinkiba first ring in front of 340 fans, Super No Vacancy Full House. So the New Age Chronicles is back. And then we start off the show with Dan Tamura and Taishi Nagao defeating Hiroyuki Suzuki and Shota Kofuji in 1250 with the crab hold from Tamura on Kofuji. Solid little opener. I think this Kofuji guy has got some potential.
I mean, to be quite honest, I don't remember a super lot of this match. But, like, I mean, I can see it, right?
Just debuted in December, mind you.
Exactly. Like, he's still super new.
Yeah, I mean, he does look a little green and stuff, no question, but I just think there's something there. And I think he's already, like, he got trained by Osaka Style Wrestling. I don't know if he's, like, a official member of their roster. And then, but he's been in Genbare and Bizarra. So, you know, All Japan could sink their claws into them if they wanted to, and I think they probably should.
Yeah, because, again, the roster has gotten a bit deeper, but they always need people.
Yeah. Okay.
And somebody needs to be on drop duty so Inoue can move out of it.
And the show kind of... Should I be really harsh, Paul?
Oh, do you mean that the show just fell off of a cliff in the next match?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Now, it doesn't... There's one other match sort of decent, but I just didn't like everything else on this show from this point.
There was one thing I liked in one match, but yeah.
Okay, so...
But yeah, first we get 100 yen store... Hiromu Takahashi.
Hoko Tomomori defeated Takahiro Katori in 8:53 with the Musu Essen. And of course, they did the gimmicks with Katori's big coat, which is made up of a bunch of plush rabbits that are all strung together. I don't know. There's got to be 100 rabbits on that coat.
Yeah.
And then Hoko Tomomori stuffs like a plush rabbit in his crotch and surprises Katori with that and then wins the match. So Essen and comedy in 8 minutes and 15 of your life you're never going to get back.
And then Hokuto gets like hit in the balls in a post-match.
Yeah. And a rare win for Hokuto these days. Okay, next up, Ryo Inoue defeating the returning Ryoma Tsukamoto, who is a lot more jacked than he was when he was...
He was huge. Jesus Christ.
Well, so the thing is he left and he was injured and then he got into bodybuilding. Now he got really
which curious decision if you just had a massive knee injuries to get into bodybuilding.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever. He got really skinny but shredded, and then he's got the mass back now that he's wrestling again. I thought this was a pretty solid match. I mean, he doesn't really have that many matches under his belt, but I think everything he does actually well, even if he needs some more like reps.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely bring him back because I think it was kind of a shame when he had to leave. Yeah. So. Because we never really...
With his little, like, you know, long sort of Masa Saito, Masa Kitamiya style short pants and his white little boots. Real, like, 1997 Tomohiro Ishii vibes.
Yeah, I mean, now he also has no neck, so he's definitely going in the same direction.
Yeah. I'd give him a shot again.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, he's a pretty good athlete. Just needs, like, it was like all of his moves look crisp. He just needs a little more experience in what to do in between stuff type thing. But, I mean, he's still got, I think, potential.
Yeah, and definitely seems like his knee is fine again as well.
Yeah, but he's not like, I don't know. Does he even have a cage match profile?
I think no. Yeah, he does. He does.
Okay, so how many matches is he actually wrestling? Because he wrestled for like
I think that might be more the problem where he might be wrestling stuff that is even like under cage match.
He is a definitely a weekend warrior. Oh no, he's been in ETO a bunch. I did not realize.
I mean, hey, if you wanna like get some more seasoning, I think that's like the best place to, or one of the best places to be. Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah.
Even got a title match. Yeah.
In front of 52 people.
Oh, I didn't know JTO has their own like arena in Chiba as well. Like really, like trying to get into
like
the AEW's old territory.
Yeah, well, the two. What was it? What was it called when the K Dojo was?
Wasn't it just the K Dojo? No, it was the blue. It was the Chiba Blue Ring.
That's it. Yes, Chiba Blue Ring. Yeah. So they got their own Chiba Blue Ring type thing.
You want to know how many people the last show that
I see it. That was awful.
Five people. Jesus. It's like, okay, how many people in the show is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
It is sort of
11, 12. There were 13 people on the card and 5 people in the crowd. Like, you don't want to have more people wrestling on your show than you have in the crowd.
It is interesting to me that given Taka's, name.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he wrestles for New Japan, that he cannot draw like more than 5 people.
I mean, to be fair though, it's kind of something we all like see with like other people as well. Because how many people does like Kota Ibushi draw these days?
Yeah, but also like JTO, you know, you have you've got, you know, that's where Micah came from, and the Inaba sisters, like they have that are, you know, affiliated, but anyway,
it came from there, yeah. But somehow it just doesn't translate into people wanting to like see the promotion.
I'm not saying even 100 people, but more than 5.
Yeah, more than 5. Yeah, absolutely. Like at least you want to draw what like 2AW does in the 2AW arena. Yeah,
even a little less, I think, wouldn't be so bad. But I mean,
I found pictures. Now that makes more sense. Why there's only like 5 people in there? I don't think you can fit more. let me wait. I'm gonna hopefully this brings them up to you. I'm gonna send them in the chat. There you are. Which that's like that looks so depressing. It looks like the most depressing thing ever to wrestle in. Also, like, not that high of a ceiling. Like, if you do like a high flying move, you might just crack your skull because that is solid concrete.
It is what it is. Anyway, from there. We had Jun Seto and Rei Seto defeating Atsuki Aoyagi and Seiko Tachibana and the cycle break from Jun on Tachibana. Not bad in the end, I suppose, but look, Atsuki and Seiko came out to Doji Doji.
To be fair, I did like that.
but then they had like repeated Doji Doji dance-offs.
I mean, again, I have to say, I like the Saito's being like, okay, you tried to make fun of our song, but at least try and get the choreography right, and them just nailing their own choreography in the match was pretty fun.
Yeah, they actually know the choreography.
Yeah,
I'll give them that.
Which also made me realize, because the listeners will probably hear it already, but we've made changes to the theme, and I realized we should have put Doshi Doshi in there. Yeah, whatever. Too late though. I don't want to put that on Andrew just to like put that back in as a meme, and then we will probably want to take it out like in 3 months or whatever.
I mean, it turned into a little solid tag in the end.
Yeah.
And then main event, Alpida special 4-way match. Rising Hado defeated Yuma Enzai, Roki Honda, and Ren Ayabe with a double pinfall from Enzai and Ayabe. So story of this match was like everyone wanted to beat up Honda.
Yeah. And I mean, then, he is going to turn on them eventually, so they might as well just get out of the way.
I guess you're probably right. Yeah, I never thought of that. He
has to, like, because Jesus, he's dead in the water otherwise.
So anyway, Hayato has Ayabe and Anzai down and hits the Sid Vicious on both of them at the same time because they're lying beside each other. He goes for another Sid Vicious, but then Honda grabs him and then just does the final vent right into Ayabe and Anzai. And then he thinks he puts them down and pins them all, 3 of them, to get the win. But no, Hayato's shoulders weren't on the mat. They were on Anzai and Ayabe. So he's the one pushing down on their shoulders. So he gets the win.
Yeah, I mean, Why not? I don't know. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't really like this finish.
Yeah, just make Honda look like a
fool. Yeah, and then he looked like even more of a fool in the post-match because he did do the weird-ass dance again. Where, like,
of course he does.
You don't want to be the guy that is known for doing a weird-ass dance that never works out for you in wrestling ever.
Yuji Nagata?
Is that what got him over and got him his main event push?
No, I'm joking. Yeah, he didn't do that later.
So, yeah, I don't know. That's why I'm saying he has to turn on Rem at some point. So, yeah. I think that's how you get out of this.
I absolutely agree with that. So let's do a quick preview. I did not like this.
No.
These two matches, you know. The crowd did. What can I say? I don't know.
I mean, it's a Shinkiba crowd. That's like hardcore of hardcores.
Yeah, absolutely. So then we move on the 29th show at Ota War Gym. I'm looking at the Lawson tickets pre-sales, and they don't even have the premium seats sold out.
Really? Like the...
Yeah.
Those normally go in like the... Because those normally don't even go on sale. Like they go in like the fan club, like pre-sale.
So there is no section that's sold out. Premium seat, only a few left. Ringside, only a few left. Lots of first floor stand seats. Only a few special ringside left. Reserve seats in the arena. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think they can hit 2,000.
Yeah.
They'll do more than Corkin, but... I don't know.
And it's like the first show back in Ota Ward, right?
Yeah. Which I think is a bit of a disappointment for them.
Yeah, for sure. Like they've kind of been on like a really good run.
Who knows what the walk-up will be? I cannot. But this has not been as... it does not look as good as some of All Japan is what I'm
doing. And also, like, I've never been to Ota Ward myself, but like I've heard from like the babbler that like Ota Ward is like not really like well located. Because it's pretty far away from like the next subway station.
Yeah.
So I don't even know how much walk up you're going to get, because then you have to be willing to like hike for like 30 minutes to even get to the arena from the next like train station.
So let's look at the card at Ota Ward. We've got first match, Dan Tamura versus and Ryo Inoue versus Atsuki Aoyagi and Taichi Nagao. Good opener.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they get like 10 minutes. Second match, Suwama for his monthly appearance versus Seiko Tachibana.
I mean, I like that though. That's gonna be a good match.
Yeah. Yuko Miyamoto and Fuminori Abe versus Naruki Doi and Senior Saito. Interesting place in that third. And we've got your Champion Carnival Rumble featuring Yuma Aoyagi, Rei Saito, Hideki Suzuki, Shotaro Shino, Ryuki Honda, Renai Abe, Kumo Rashi, Madoka Kakuta, Davey Boy Smith Jr., Cyrus, and Zion.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think a foreigner wins this.
I could definitely see that. I mean, again, it doesn't really matter, right? Because they just want to like be like, hey, maybe this guy's going to win because he won the Battle Royal. But then that's never the guy that actually wins the Champion Carnival. Oh, just for quick on Madoka Kakuta, because I actually had a quick chat with Mike Spears about Kakuta, mm-hmm. because I haven't really been following Dragon Gate. And apparently, like, in Dragon Gate, he's currently in a storyline where they're kind of teasing a breakup between him and D-Courage, his faction, where basically he was like, oh, yeah, he, like, stepped aside, basically, to, like, allow someone else to, like, be in a tag tournament. And then, basically, the D-Courage team didn't even make it to, like, the semifinals of the tournament or whatever. They didn't make it out of the block. So, like, he's basically like, yeah, why did I, like, step aside and, like, let you into this tournament and then you, like, fuck it up? So Mike thinks that actually what he does in the Champion Carnival might actually play into that, where, like, if he does really well, they're going to use that as, like, fodder for him basically being like, look, I went to this other tournament and I did really well there and you fucked up in your own tournament. Or they're going to do the reverse, but, like, if he does really badly... they're also going to do that where it's like it fuels his like frustrations even more. So it might be that he could actually do really, really well in a tournament, but it might also be that he gets out of there with like just a few wins. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on.
Okay, for sure. Good to know. So All Asia Tag Team title match, Rising Hado and Yuma Anzai versus Hokuto Mori, Takashi Yoshida.
Yeah. I mean, I don't expect the LPD team to lose. Yeah, I would be shocked.
No. Omori's eating a gimlet.
Yeah. I love that you didn't even consider it. It's like, oh, maybe it's Yoshida. It's like, no, it's going to be Omori.
Yeah. I mean, he's doing jobs in six-man tournaments.
Being the jobber for the faction that you lead is such a weird spot.
And then sixth match, semi-main, PWF World Junior Heavyweight Championship, Musashi versus Seki Yoshioka. Think it'll be good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, for sure. Like, good. Yeah, definitely. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if I go four on this, but yeah, it depends on effort, I think.
And then the main event for the Triple Crown, Jun Seto versus Kento Miyahara, and I have pretty high expectations. Their past match, Champion Finals, and that tag title match. But do you think he's winning?
Yeah, I was about to ask, do you think Kaito has any chance?
No.
No. Again, to me, it seems set in stone that they're going to do Jun versus Rey in Sendai, and then after that we'll do whatever we do. Like, I do actually expect whoever challenges the winner of that match, mm-hmm. I think is going to beat like the side that holds the title, which probably is going to be June. Like, I don't know. I can't rule it out that they do like a really quickie Ray title reign so that they can say both of them are Triple Crown champions.
And then,
but I do expect them to like very quickly lose it after that.
I would like to see a big time like main event title match between Rey and Kento. Haven't really gone
there. Yeah. Yeah. That's true, actually. I mean, maybe, like, again, because I was watching a tag title match and I'm like, you know what? Kento needs to win this title again. Like, he actually hasn't held it for a while now. I think it's weirdly, Kento Miyahara is like the freshest person to hold the title now.
We are going
which feels bizarre.
Oh, no, we are now over, because he lost it to Nagata in February 2023. We are over 2 years since he's held that title.
Jesus, that's so weird.
It is weird. But look, they did pretty much everything almost perfectly since then in terms of getting the young tournament ready.
No, absolutely. So I think it's the right choice to like put this back on Kento. But yeah, for now, not now. You need to do brother versus brother. You need to do brother versus brother if you have the chance. Incendiary.
It would not shock me if they draw it out till December for Kento.
What? Oh, for Kento to like win it again? Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's fair. Like, you can probably put it back on like Anzai or Yuma. But you can put it back on Yuma. Let's say that, and then I'm right either way.
and Kento finally beat.
Yeah, you can you need a big match for the New Year's Eve show, and I'm not just saying that because I'll be.
And
there.
I don't know what they really have.
I'm right also now. Saying that because I'll be there.
And they don't really have that much right now. Like, you could do June to Ray to Anzai, and then...
Yeah, and then back to Kento, yeah. And then have Kento run with it for a while.
I'm going to be honest, I don't think Ray needs more than, like, one defense Triple Crown.
No, absolutely not. I think you could away with doing a zero.
I wouldn't do that. I like to avoid...
I mean, you can do one.
No, that's just my preference at the debut.
I mean, yeah, you can have him. You know what? That's actually perfect. You can have him defend against Davey Boy. You can have Ray defend against Davey Boy, and then he gets beaten by Yuma.
Oh, that's right, because Ray's going to be there for Davey Boy's going to be there for 5 months.
Yeah, that actually works out perfectly. I mean, I don't think that's going to be a good match, but like at least that way you get like your like one Ray defense, and you don't burn off a big match.
Yeah. I think that works.
No, I don't look forward to having to watch it and having to review it. But, you know, those work out nicely.
Yeah. All right. So that is all for this week. We'll be back because the carnival is starting late this year. So we'll be back and do a full preview for the carnival with all of the matches and talk about its structure. Interesting and a little different this year and everything like that. So we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks and enjoy all the wrestling out there. Take care. Bye.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collins and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
Wrestling Omakase is back, baby. The weekly podcast that takes you across all the top promotions of the entire Japanese wrestling scene, from New Japan to Stardom, NOAH, DDT, All Japan, Mari Gold, Dragon Gate, Tokyo Joshi, Sendai Girls, and a whole lot more. I'm John Carroll, a fan of Japanese wrestling for over 20 years, and every week I'm joined by a rotating cast of guest co-hosts as we break down all the top promotions in Japan, men's and women's. Check out Wrestling Omakase right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network today.